On tomorrow's program, I will go through this list. But since the promise that I was given that longevity ads would no longer appear on the Shattering Myths program, and yet Alex Jones was paid to read a longevity ad that appeared on this program just a moment ago, I'd like to take the advertisement to task. The basic thrust of the advertisement is big pharmacies are polluting you, and that they're killing you, and that you don't need your, in fact, you should stop taking your pharmaceuticals that are being prescribed from you for you, and should instead pay them an egregious amount for beyond a tangy tangerine. The implication is that if you are on cholesterol medication, stop it. If you are on high blood pressure medication, nah, you don't need that. If you're on anticoagulants to prevent stroke, oh, let's pass on that too. If you're taking antibiotics that are prescription drugs, those are just poisoning you. What if you're on HIV medications? And we'll go through the medications. Let's say that you are on an antidepressant medication. Just stop it. All you need is a big dose of beyond tangy tangerine and you'll be fine. You know, that is a combination between conspiracy theory and the lies being promoted by conspiracy theorists and the promotion of a pyramid scheme. Should be ashamed of themselves. But if they don't have any shame, at least I will take this moment of this program to strongly encourage you not to listen to them. Now turning to Paul and the various corruptions of Christianity, another myth that you ought not listen to your religious leaders. We were talking about the difference between the placeholders, Yahusha's name versus Jesus, the fact that there is no basis for Christ from Christos. And let me sort of go over some of this territory for you so that you at least have the information necessary to make a rational decision. There is no one named Jesus. Never has been. There isn't even a Greek name, Iusu, Iusus, Iusun, written out in any of the 70-some-odd manuscripts that we have dating prior to Constantine of the so-called Christian New Testament. Not one page, not in one paragraph, not in one sentence of any of the pre-Constantine manuscripts. Constantine came into power in the early 4th century. Do we find a single reference to the writing out of Iusu, Iusu, Iusun, or Christos, Christus, Christone? Not once. And so the basis of the name Christian, the basis of the name Christ, doesn't exist, nor does the basis of the name Jesus. Now, beyond the fact that Iusu, Iusus, Iusun does not transliterate to Jesus, and there was no J in the Greek language, the Hebrew language, or the Latin language, and that the first J was invented in the 17th century, meaning that there is absolutely a 0% possibility that a person named Jesus lived in the first century. And if you've been lied to about his name, what else has your religion lied to you about? But beyond that, Christ isn't a name. It isn't even based on something written in any of the pre-Constantine texts of the so-called Christian New Testament. And the reason we use Constantine in the early 4th century as the fulcrum upon which we determine what things we are, how we divide these manuscripts, is that from Constantine on, when Christianity became not only legal but favored in Rome, the religion and the governance of Rome saw to it that the texts of the Christian New Testament were specifically altered to benefit the government and the church. And their idea of how the religion should exist was framed at the Council of Nicaea around 325, about a decade or so into the rule of Constantine, whereby a man was not only turned into God, but more importantly, the caricature of the Christian Jesus Christ was modeled after Dionysus. So, you ought to be very weary of a religion that would call itself Christian when there's no basis for Christian in the text of that religion's documents. It's a placeholder. And the placeholder, in the case of the word Christos, isn't based on the word Christos. In every independent document, in every evidence that we have where the word was actually written out, whether it be by Roman historians of that era, or in, for example, the Codex Vaticanus, what we find is that the placeholder was based upon the Greek word Christus. Night and day, different. Christos means drug. It speaks of the application of drugs in Greek. Christus speaks of a noble, sacrificial, beneficial servant who has been set apart to successfully achieve a specific, worthwhile task. Entirely different concepts. You're an implement doing something worthy as a Christusian. You're drugged as a Christian. But beyond all that, as we talked in our program last week, even if it wasn't Jesus Christ, and it was Christ, the Christ Jesus, Christ is not a translation of the Hebrew title, because there is no Hebrew title, Messiah. And the fact that when it appears after the name, it can't be a title. Then it becomes a last name. And Yahusha only has one name. It's Yahweh. Yahusha actually explains what Yahweh is doing, which is saving us. But that's right. This Jewish and Christian notion of a Messiah doesn't actually exist in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. Doesn't exist. Not there. The two times in Daniel 9 where the where Messiah is used, it is not preceded with the ha in Hebrew, with the definite article. In addition to it not being a title, the Messiah, the Messiah. The two times it appears in Daniel 9 relative to the arrival of Yahweh's representative in Jerusalem, it's an adjective. I mean, adjectives are not nouns. Adjectives are never titles. There is no title Messiah, the Messiah, in the Hebrew Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And it, if there were, it would be a Hebrew title, and therefore transliterating a Greek word that means to apply drugs would be stupid. And yet, the religion of Christianity is based on this bogus bill. If your religion has lied to you about who you are, about who Yahusha was and is, what else have they lied to you about? And when do you get to the point that you would stop trusting them? You know, the fact of the matter is that there is a name, Messiah, based upon the Hebrew word for work and Yahweh's name, which means that the name Maaseyah means the work of Yahweh, an implement doing the work of Yahweh. And that name is used 22 times in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, but it is never presented as a title. As a result of this evidence, we also know that Christus was the actual basis from which the placeholder, which was ubiquitously used in the earliest autographs, the earliest codexes of the so-called Christian New Testament, that technique was established in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Torah initially, and then Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And in the Septuagint for the 1st and 2nd century BCE and the 1st and 2nd century CE, the Hebrew names and Hebrew titles were written in Hebrew even in the Greek text. And the reason is that Greek does not have the alphabetical sounds to correctly replicate or transliterate Yahweh's name, or Yahusha's name for that matter, or many of the Hebrew names. And that when you translate or transliterate a name from one language to another, well, that's the appropriate thing to do, you often discard its meaning. And the names in Hebrew were extraordinarily meaningful, like Yahusha is Yahweh saves. And so following that strategy, you find the earliest, all of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and early 4th century manuscripts of the so-called Christian New Testament using these placeholders, consistent with the Septuagint. And yes, in your Christian Bible today, they're wholly and completely disregarded, as if they were never there. Which makes this stupid notion that a Christian is holding up the inerrant word of God laughable. Because the text they're reading today differs so overwhelmingly from the oldest manuscripts that if the oldest manuscripts are not correct, then it's not the inerrant word. And if they are correct, then it's not the inerrant word because it differs from what we read today. All important things for you to know if you've been deceived, duped by the Christian religion. The realization that Yahusha's disciples selected Christus, not Christos, as the closest Greek allegory to at least the name Maaseyah can be distinguished from the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century Greek placeholders for Maaseyah. Can't tell. So if you're looking just at the placeholders, which were Chi Rho Sigma, they represent both words equally well. The placeholders almost always took a consonant, not vowels. And the difference between Christos and Christus are two vowels, the E and the I, versus and the O versus the U. But that isn't to say that there isn't textual affirmation for Christus, because there is. In all three depictions of the epithet used to depict the first followers of the way, in Acts 11:26 and 26:28, as well as in Shimon, Peter 4:16, the Codex Sinaiticus reveals that Christianios was penned initially, not Christianios. The same is true with the Codex Venaticus. Then after Constantine in the 4th century, Christianios, meaning useful tools and upright servants, was replaced by Christianios, transliterated Christian today, but literally meaning those who are drugged. If you are a Christian reading this, listening to this, take the time not only to verify the accuracy of this realization, but to consider its implications. And if you can't process them, then pull out your plasticized card of the saint of migration, Gonzalez. I'm sure he will be able to explain it to you. But there's more. The Nestle Allen 27th edition Greek New Testament, the most revered modern amalgamation of Greek texts, reveals that Christus was scribed in 1 Shimon Peter 2:3, not Christos. The reference for this includes Papyrus 72 and the Codex Sinaiticus, the oldest extant witnesses of Peter's, actually, Shimon Kephesh's letter. In 1 Shimon, which was attested by both ancient manuscripts, Yahusha's disciple tells us, as a newborn child, true to our real nature, being genuine, reasonable, and rational, earnestly desire and lovingly pursue the pure and unadulterated milk in order to grow in respect to salvation, since we have experienced Yahweh from Kappa Sigma, the placeholder, as the useful implement, an upright servant, Christus, the upright one, who is a superior, merciful, kind, and good tool. With the realization that we find Christus written in the Codex Sinaiticus and the placeholder Chi Rho Sigma written in Papyrus 72, in that same place in the passage, we have an early and irrefutable affirmation that the divine placeholder representing the title of Messiah, should it even exist as a title, was based on the Greek Christus. The related term Christus, Christos, meaning kind, good, useful, benevolent, virtuous, and moral, as in the sense of being upright, is a marvelous parallel. Words directly related to Christos and Christus speak of integrity in the sense of being trustworthy and reliable, receiving the benefit of a payment, as in providing recompense and restitution, of fulfilling one's duty, as in being a loyal servant, doing what is beneficial, in the same sense of healing us, transacting business as in fulfilling one's mission, paying a debt, providing a divine message and response, in the sense of being the Word made flesh, being fit for use, as in the sense of being Yahweh's implement, and conveying a beneficial and trustworthy message which produces a good result, which is synonymous with the use of Messiah in Daniel, where the adjective says that the messenger was set apart, prepared, and useful. All conveys this concept of a healing and beneficial message and messenger of Yahweh. We'll be back in a moment. Writing about the Great Fire of Rome, circa 64 CE. The revered Roman historian Tacitus, who may be the classical world's most authoritative voice regarding this particular time and place. It was a time and place that he himself experienced. In his Annals, 15.44, pages 2 through 8, he wrote, "All human efforts and the appropriations of the gods did not banish the sinister belief that the fire was the result of an order from Nero. Consequently, to get rid of the report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations called Christuanios by the populace. Christus, from which the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate." End quote. Christuanios, Christus. It's an entirely different word than Christos, Christian, or Christ. They aren't remotely the same. Also, the Roman historian Suetonius, who lived from 69 through 122 CE, makes reference to Christus in his Lives of the 12 Caesars. In a statement in Divus Claudius 25, he wrote, "He expelled from Rome the Iudaeus, the Yaudem, constantly making disturbances at the instigation of Christus." Then, in summary, he wrote, "Since the Iudaeus constantly made disturbances at the instigation of Christus, he expelled them from Rome." End quote. This event is dated by Suetonius to 49 CE. The historian also wrote, in Nero 16, Nero issued a public order calling for the punishment of Christianos in the year of the Great Fire of Rome due to the superstition associated with Christus. End quote. You can't counter this, by the way, folks, if you were Christian, with your Christian New Testament, because you won't find any reference to Christos, the basis of Christ, or of Christian, in any copy of the so-called Christian New Testament dating prior to 450 CE. This is dated hundreds of years before that. The first one that I read, Tacitus, is dated to 64 CE. 64 CE. And the earliest time you can read anything spelled out Christ or Christian is dated to 475 CE. 400 years later. Oops. Don't have a leg to stand on. There is absolutely no basis whatsoever for Jesus or for Christ in any document, from the first, second, third, or even first half of the fourth century. Nothing. And all evidence that is extant from that period says that both the name and whatever you want to call Christos, Christ, Christian, are wrong. Now what? You've been lied to about the very name of your religion and the name and title of the individual you think founded it, all by people who want you to be beguiled. These highly credible secular sources, in addition to Pliny, who used the same spelling, provide additional and convincing evidence in favor of Christus over Christos, the useful and merciful servant, over the drugged one, and Christianios over Christianios, those who are useful and merciful servants over those who are drugged. The placeholders are errantly called nomia sacra by theologians, which is Latin for sacred names. This moniker is wrong on three accounts. First, only two of the 10 placeholders designate a name, while 7 convey titles. One represents a thing in the case of the upright pole, and the other speaks of how the upright pillar became the doorway to heaven. Second, there is nothing sacred in Scripture, only individuals and things which are set apart. The human term sacred is religious, meaning devoted to the worship of a deity in a religious service and worthy of religious veneration. And while the divine designation set apart is relational, it explains the association between Yahweh and Yahusha, between Yahweh and the set apart spirit. Third, the Greek text is already a translation of Hebrew conversations, as well as Hebrew citations from the Torah and prophets. Therefore, adding the Latin nomius sacra designation is another step in the wrong direction, folks. Christian scholars use the same hypocritical sleight of hand to explain the universal presence of the placeholders in the Greek text that rabbis have used and have deployed to justify their removal of Yahweh's and Yahusha's name from the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. They suggest that the names were considered too sacred to write. But if that were true, if the disciples thought that these 10 names and titles were too sacred to write, then why are they written today? Ponder that. If it was wrong then, how can it be right now? Oh, I guess now it's right because you've changed them. Yeah, the real ones are too sacred to say, but it's okay to change God's name. That's a-okay with the big boy upstairs. Anyone who has spent 15 minutes reading any portion of the Torah and Prophets from any one of the hundreds of Qumran manuscripts recognizes that the too sacred to write notion is in complete and absolute discord with Yahweh's approach to every name and title throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, including his own. Moreover, God, in the midst of criticizing and rebuking religious clerics, said, and I'm going to read from Yirmiyah, Yah uplifts, corrupted to Jeremiah, 23:27. This is God speaking in first person. Their plan is for my people to overlook, to forget, and to cease to care properly about and value my personal and proper name. By way of the revelations and communications which they recount to mankind, to their fellow countrymen and associates, just as when in a relationship with the Lord, their fathers overlooked, ignored, and forgot my personal and proper name. The Lord is Satan. Baal, translated Lord, is Satan's name and his title. Satan wants to lord over the Almighty. He wants to lord over creation. And so God is telling us right here is that the plan, politically, religiously, you name it, is to get people to overlook, to forget about, to cease to properly value Yahweh's personal and proper name. And they've done so by way of their own revelations and communications, which they recount to humankind, to their fellow countrymen and associates, in the same manner as when in a relationship with Satan, Baal, the Lord, they overlooked and forgot my personal and proper name. Oh boy, if you're a Christian, you are now out on a limb that your forefathers have sawed off, and it's dangling over a cliff, plunging you into its depths. There is no justification for removing Yahweh's name from his testimony, and yet you don't use it, you don't know it. In fact, doing so and replacing it by the term the Lord is a satanic act that equates the perpetrator with the adversary. The fact is that there is no basis for Jesus or for Christ, and that by changing Yahusha, which means Yahweh saves, to the bogus Jesus, that those who have perpetrated this lie in the name of the Christian religion have disassociated that which should never have been disassociated, because Yahusha is nothing more than a diminished manifestation of Yahweh set apart from him. to reveal his teaching to us. When we know that this clerical, religious sleight of hand began much earlier, we know it now, because Yahweh is recorded in his Torah, warning that the crime of diminishing the use of his name was punishable by death and separation. You see, and Korah called out Leviticus 24:9-16. God says emphatically, in fact, he wrote it in stone. It's the third statement on the first of the two tablets, that diminishing the importance of his name, having his name be for naught, deceiving in his name, was an unforgivable crime. I don't suppose, then, this notion that rabbis and now Christians have replaced Yahweh's name with the Lord in direct conflict with Yahweh's instructions, with what his testimony says. And the perpetration of this copy edit under the "it's too sacred to say," now that it doesn't fit the text, what's your excuse? Welcome back to Shattering Mystery. In the commercial break, I find myself looking at the top 100 prescribed drugs in America, since the longevity commercial says, you can go off of those because the big pharma trying to poison you, and instead you just drink this big old hunkin glass of tangy tangerine, and you're going to be just fine. Well, we're going to be fine because you will enrich us in the process anyway. But it's interesting, and I think you'll find it interesting tomorrow as we go through the list of America's leading prescribed drugs and what they do. Well, the religious mindset that was shared by the... the rabbinical mindset that Yahweh's name is way too respected for us to say it, so we're going to replace it with Satan's name and title of the Lord. If that was shared by the disciples, if that mindset was, then we have absolutely no information to confirm that. It certainly was not inspired by the same God who inspired the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, because he uses his name 7,000 times, exactly, in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And he uses Yahusha's name. He uses every title associated with his name or with his nature. It is curious, of course, that not one in 1,000 pastors, not one in 1,000 priests or religious teachers, not one in 1,000 scholars ever mentions the universal application of the 10 placeholders that are deployed on every page of every manuscript written within 3 centuries of Yahusha's earthly life. And yet, if any portion of the Greek text was inspired by God, then these 10 placeholders were designated by God. It is as simple as that. Ignoring them then would be in direct opposition to God's will. But the fact of the matter is, nothing in the Christian New Testament was inspired by God, unless you you think that, on the whole, that the Greek translations of Hebrew statements by Yahusha were inspired by God. No, I'm here to tell you that properly maintained in the original language, anything that Yahusha said as the mouth of Yahweh would therefore be inspired by Yahweh. The problem is that the copy edits to the so-called Christian New Testament are so rife that there are more variances than there are words. Some 300,000 variances between the amalgamized text that forms the basis of Christian translations and the oldest manuscripts, 300,000 known variances, and there's only 180-some-odd thousand words. And there's totally disregard for what those words actually say. The translations are very often not translations at all, but replacements. You know, for example, when Yahusha in Hebrew speaks of the mikre, of his invitations to be called out and to meet with him, it's changed to a Christian church. When Yahusha speaks of Yahweh, it's changed to the Lord. And so it's been so altered by translation and by copy edits that there's so very little of it that has value. But the fact is that if any portion of it was actually inspired to change what the oldest manuscripts say, would, well, be blasphemy. And yet, that's the result of Christian translations. I am convinced that there are only two rational reasons for Yahweh to write out his name 7,000 times in the Hebrew Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and reference his titles countless times more, only to never have any of them written in the Greek manuscripts, even when Hebrew verses are being quoted by Yahusha. The first of those is Yahweh's name, Yahusha's name, and all of God's title convey essential truths in Hebrew, which are lost in translation. Rather than replace those meanings with Greek pseudo-equivalents, Yahweh wants us to turn to the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms for complete explanations and for accurate answers. The Torah is the foundation upon which Yahweh's plan is based. So to understand his plan, we have to view it from this perspective. Secondarily, the sounds produced by the 22 Hebrew letters cannot be properly replicated by the 24 letters in the Greek alphabet. So God didn't want his name mispronounced. We'll be back with you tomorrow.